Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. To God be the glory. We give God praise for today. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing and we are glad in it. Hallelujah. I pray you had a blessed day on today. I pray, amen, that it was prosperous, that it was fruitful, that it was productive. To God be all the glory. God is a good God. Hallelujah. All the time. And all the time, our God is good. So we're excited about Word Wednesday tonight. We're excited that you are here studying to show yourself approved, rightly dividing God's Word. We thank God for the opportunity to come and share the Word of God in Jesus' name. Let us pray before we start and begin our teaching on tonight. Heavenly Father, in your Son Jesus' name, we thank you, even as we are coming off a resurrection Holy Week. And so much glory be to God. So much in the life of the believer we have been reminded last week and on Sunday that you got up. And because you got up, we can always get up. Hallelujah. Because you rose, we can always rise no matter what it is that we're facing. Glory be to his name. Because you defeated the devil, we too can defeat him. So God, we thank you for showing us the way. We thank you for your example. We thank you in the name of Jesus, even for those who have gone before us, to show us how it is to live by faith and not by sight. So God, as we continue this walk of faith, as we continue in the name of Jesus, pressing and moving forward by faith, may you continue to bless us, enlarge us, and increase us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Yes, God. Yes, God. I tell you, I shared a little bit of my testimony on Sunday, but even being around Christianity now for one-fourth, hallelujah, 25 years, one-fourth of a century, I've learned a few things. I've been through a few things. But I know that when you allow this word to come in, when you allow the hearing of God's word, when you position yourself, amen, to be poured in by the Spirit of God, it's something that he fortifies you, he strengthens you, he prepares you, and he readies you to handle what the enemy is planning against you. Because the Bible says the enemy's coming. Even Jesus in the wilderness, it said it left him for an opportune time. In other words, it was going to come back. The devil was going to come back and come at Jesus again. So how much so should we put on our armor daily? How much so should we come to church or try to hear the word of God through the archives or through the recordings? How much so should we read our own Bibles and pray? Because the enemy is trying to plot and come against what God wants to get to and through our lives. Amen? So today I want to talk from this topic, born to win. Born to win. I never forget Zig Ziglar had a teaching years ago. He was a motivational speaker. But Pastor Rebecca, my wife, shared with me because she went to Texas to visit him. She said not only was he one of the greatest motivational speakers to ever live, but after his motivational secular meetings, he would have a private call to salvation for those who wanted to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. So Zig Ziglar won many people to Christ because he had many people coming to him trying to get motivated on how they can secure a career, how they can advance their company, how they can grow prosperously, how they can maintain their marriages and their success. They came to him for that. But then through that door, he would share about his faith. And he had a series I'll never forget because we used to be part of his organization called Born to Win. And that's kind of where I got my title from. But I was motivated by this on what my wife was sharing on Monday. I was in air's reach. And one of the things she said during her Facebook Live, she said, don't give up your birthright, something like that. Or don't sell your birthright for a bowl of beans. And it stuck with me. I said, wow. And that's where we're going to start tonight, looking at Esau, the life of Esau and Jacob, in Genesis chapter 25. We're going to start there, Because we got to realize when before we came out of our mother's womb, the Bible says God prepared works in advance for us. And we are gifted, we are talented, we are skilled, we have great potential and possibility, but the enemy knows that as well. And sometimes he has come against many of us at an early age. He has come against some of us in our older years, in our latter years. But the enemy knows that God has equipped us with certain things even before we got here. That's why, when I look at education or I look at opportunity, we got to realize that sometimes we see people that the world will call them advantaged. In other words, they were born with an advantage. They were born with certain privileges. And a lot of people, they look at Donald Trump and they say, yeah, I would have millions like he had millions if my father left me $26 million, just using him as an example. But guess what? He still, not defending him, but he still had to increase that money that his father left him. And we got to understand whether we was born with an advantage, a privilege, or a disadvantage. God is the equalizer. Hallelujah. God levels the playing field. So if you're anything like me, coming from a broken home, growing up without a father in the house, seeing things that go on with a single parent, my mother did the best that she could. But when you're brought up in an environment like that, and a lot of my friends had my circumstances, you're conditioned, and this world think it has you. This world think you're going to be a statistic. But God has his hand on you. Hallelujah. And if God has his hand on you, it's like we're tattooed to the hand of God. And he said, nobody can snatch you out of his hand. So I want to talk about that tonight, that you were born to win. It doesn't matter if you failed, if you made some mistakes over your life, if you've made some bad choices and decisions. That's almost irrelevant when it comes to the people of God, those of us that walk by faith. Because God always gives us the opportunity to get back what we lost or to get back in the race. So let's look at this because, my wife said, don't ever give up she told the women on Monday night, don't ever give up your birthright. And that thing stuck with me. I'm like, okay, the birthright. Let's look at that tonight and start there. Genesis chapter 25, the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 25. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Let's start at verse number 21 because I want to see the foundation of Esau and Jacob, because up until this point, there is no war between first or second born or the birthright having significance. We see throughout the Old Testament how the birthright of the firstborn male, he would inherit a large portion of his father's inheritance, being in position of the birthright, being the firstborn male. But that started with Esau and Jacob, because we know the miracle father that they had, which was Isaac. He had a brother Ishmael, but Ishmael was the megabond. Ishmael was the vagabond, and Ishmael was not really in competition with Isaac, even though Isaac did have a half-brother, if you will. So the birthright really wasn't significant in Isaac's generation, and Adam and up into Abraham. Abraham had Isaac and Ishmael, and now we see Esau and Jacob. Let's see the significance of the birthright, but first let's see what's going on here as we're talking tonight about being born to win. We got to know that we came into this world with a lot of things at our disposal. Verse number 21 says, and Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, which was Rebekah, because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. So Rebekah was barren. She could not have children. Remember Rebekah and Leah. I'm getting ahead of myself. Rebekah was Isaac's wife, but she was barren, just like Sarah was barren with Abraham. And now Isaac went to God and asked for God to open up his wife's womb, and we see that Rebekah did conceive. Verse number 22 says, and the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. She has this war going on in her womb. Verse number 23 is the answer. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in your womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from your bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the older shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. He was the firstborn. He had all the birthright privileges coming out of Rebekah's womb first. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 old when she bare them. Now look at verse number. Let's look at verse number 27. Let's just keep reading. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter and a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sod or made pottage. And Esau came from the field, and he was faint, or he was starving, he was hungry. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said to him, sell me this day your birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do for me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore to him, and he sold him his birthright. My God. We see here, and the story gets even uglier, because in the next chapter or so, Jacob, who is trickster, who is a deceiver, who is a liar, steals his brother's blessing. Him and his mom, Rebekah, they plot, and they take Esau's blessing. Now they have the birthright and the blessing. And God is saying to us, even as Esau didn't see the value, he said, what does this mean to me? It doesn't even matter. I'm so hungry. I'm so famished. I'm so starving. That's irrelevant. That doesn't even matter. And it does matter. What matters to God should matter to you and me. What's important to God should be important for you and me. That's why as a pastor, you know, when it comes to the church, when it comes to Bible study, when it comes to giving, when it comes to fulfilling our purpose, when it comes to helping a local ministry, when it comes to living this Christian walk, these things matter to God. And as a pastor, as a shepherd, having a heart of God, my job, Pastor Rebekah's job, one of our missions is to let you know what really does matter to God. And God is saying to us, even as the people of God, the things that I put a value on, put a value on that. He puts a value on marriage. He puts a great value on family. God puts a great value on stewardship. Amen, somebody. He puts a great value on us being obedient to his word. And when we do that, being born to win and allowing God to clear the field or give us the opportunities that we need, then we begin to maximize, hallelujah, our potential and our possibility, and we become productive. We start producing. We start, in the name of Jesus, winning. We start becoming more successful and more fruitful, and we begin, in the name of Jesus, begin to progress. And so many believers, sometimes in our day, Pastor Rebekah and I, when we went to the church we came up in, We saw productivity. We saw demonstration. We saw manifestation. And sometimes in today's church, unfortunately, not at New Creation, but sometimes at large, at New Creation, people are getting jobs. Amen. People are getting their lives together. Come on, somebody. People are changing, and people are getting stronger, and people are being transformed by the renewing of their mind. So I thank God for the place of worship that we have. But at large, sometimes people are leaving God's church and because they're saying, you know, they don't see a demonstration. They don't see the manifestation. And God is saying, apply the principles. God is saying, my word will not come back void, but it will accomplish what I sent it to do. Hallelujah. So when we're talking about born to win, we're talking about the word of God. And I didn't want to go there this early, but we're all going to go there. I wrote in my notes, principles, number one, patterns. You can write these down if you're taking notes. Number two, principles. They all begin with the letter P. Principles. Those are laws. Those are things that are done that work, especially God principles and God laws and God ways and God statutes. They are called principles. And the principles of God will not fail us. And then there are patterns we see in the Bible. There are patterns. There are certain things, certain ways that the people of God did things then in the Old and New Testament that we can learn from today. In Hebrews chapter number 4, it said these things were examples to us. And then there are practices. There are practices, things that we do, things that we implement. Faith without works is dead. And then there's the process. And this is, we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. I hope so. But the process, when we go through, when it's hard, when it gets to that place where you want to quit and give up, sometimes that's part of the process. That's part of the preparation. And then my final word there is prosperity. Hopefully we can get to all five phases of that. But let's look at principles number one, starting in Psalm number one. Psalm number one. Again, we don't want to get off topic too much, but we're talking tonight about born to win. You came into this world not a loser, not a failure. You came into this world a winner. Amen. You came into this world a winner. But sometimes things happen, and sometimes that's why you can see a real smart person who academically they're astute. They're just a genius. Their IQ is high. And you still find sometimes people like that, you know, dropping out of high school, dropping out of college for whatever circumstances. It's not that they don't have the academic aptitude to accomplish a degree or a diploma, but certain other outside external things begin to happen that gets in the way of their educational opportunities. That's why I said there's some who have been privileged and some coming into this world with an advantage, but it doesn't matter if you have a disadvantage or an advantage, God will allow you still to be born to win. We're looking at Psalms number one, verse number one. First thing we're talking about today is principles. Here are some principles that God wants us to do as Christians where we can be productive. Psalm number one. Blessed is the man that walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful or mockers. But his delight, meaning we get pleasure out of this, his delight is in the law of the Lord. Those are the principles that I'm talking about right now. And in his law, does he meditate day and night? And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he do shall prosper. I feel the Holy Ghost right there. God is saying some of the principles that you and I need to apply is found right here in Psalm number one. It said, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. We got to watch, and we have to be aware of who we are allowing to speak into our lives. If the wrong person is speaking into your life, have access to your ear, is giving you bad counsel, is leading you down a wrong road, if they're trying to get you to do something ungodly or out of character, if that person is trying to get you to come into agreement with something that you know you're not supposed to be doing, you have to say, listen, I got to put some distance. You ain't got to tell them, but your action can speak louder than your words. You should start putting some distance between you and that person. Because now, if you used to get high and they still getting high, you got to put some distance in between you two. If you're trying to be faithful to your spouse and they still trying to run around, you got to put some distance between you and them. Amen. If you're trying to get to church and learn the deeper things of God and they don't have the things of God in mind at all, you have to begin to put some distance between you and that person. Because either you're going to pull them away or they're going to pull you away. Amen. And God is saying sometimes that's a hard decision. I'll never forget. I was in a college fraternity. I knew a lot of my fraternity brothers growing up in those clubs and that party scene. I met a lot of people through that. And I've had a lot of friends over the course of my life. But as I became a believer, those people started falling away. And then God started sending me some new friends, some godly friends, some godly Christian men, some brothers that I didn't know before began to come into my life. And then he says, don't stand in the way of sinners. My God. We just can't be in certain environments. We just can't. If we're going to be born to win, if we're going to win, you know, Pastor Anthony, that's not me. I'm not around the wrong folk. Well, maybe it's the person who's going to listen to the recording. Maybe it's somebody you know that you can probably pass this on to. If it's not you, it's for somebody you know. And in church, they would say, nudge your neighbor. They ain't talking to you, but he's talking to somebody you know. A.R. Bernard says that all the time. But sometimes if it hit home, like with me, I was in a church where our bishop just kept it real, and I needed that kind of preaching because I was coming from the world, and I needed somebody to tell me straight up what the Bible meant, not giving me hints or trying to figure it out. Be straight. Shoot straight to the hip. I needed somebody to tell me, if you got certain friends that's going to keep you in the world, you have to reconsider those friendships. And then don't sit in the seat of mockers. Those that talk about the pastor, those that talk about the church, those that talk about you trying to be holier than thou, those that trying to break you down because you're trying to live right, those that's picking with you and laughing at you and mocking you because you're trying to, for once in your life, do the right thing. He says you gotta move away from people like that, because it's going to make you either give in through embarrassment or shame, or it's going to serve something, some kind of anger in you or resentment in you, and push one of your trigger buttons. But then he says, when you do those three things, those principles that I'm talking about, and then meditate on the word day and night. What does that word mean, meditate? That means, yes, memorize some scripture, study the scripture, get a study Bible with some footnotes or some commentaries, and see what the text means. Let it be broken down. Whether it's the King James, the NLT, the NIV, the New Living Application, the Amplified Bible, the King James, the New King James, whatever Bible verse or whatever Bible translation you feel comfortable with, get a Bible help. Get a study guide. Get a commentary. Google it on your app or your phone and do some research about the scripture. And then it says meditate on that word day and night. Get that thing in your spirit, get it in your memory, and then start quoting it out of your mouth. I am blessed and highly favored. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I am powerful in the name of Jesus. I am anointed. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That I do know well. Hallelujah. I am the child of God. I am more than a conqueror. And you begin to quote that thing in the atmosphere, and it becomes a part of you. So when the enemy comes like in like a flood, and you start failing at something, or something becomes overwhelming, you have a mountain coming into your life, you be diagnosed with something like cancer, you go through a divorce, you lose your long-term job, when these things begin to happen, now you have the word of God to combat that. Because if you look at this world, yes, we think positive. Yes, we're optimistic. Yes, these things we hope will never happen to us. But again, we got to understand the times in which we're living. If you do lose your job, if you do get diagnosed, I didn't think I was going to get diagnosed with cancer. I was never hospitalized up until that point. But guess what? It happened. And I've been quoting scriptures. I've been speaking scriptures. I've been believing God. And that happened to me. So we're not exempt in a fallen, evil world. But we got to understand, when we're born to win, we get proactive. We start preparing ourselves. Not for the worst, but you prepare yourself for the unexpected. There's so many people that they get overwhelmed. You'd be like, where's so-and-so? Where's such-and-such? And guess what? Something may have hit their household. Something may have hit their loved one. Something may have hit their situation, and they was not equipped to handle it. And all of a sudden, God's not working. No, God does work. The Bible works. The Holy Spirit works. Jesus and the blood works. This stuff all works. So when we look at it as failing, we got to say, wait a minute, what am I doing wrong? Where did I miss it, God? Because he said, you'll be like a tree planted near streams of living waters. Hallelujah. To God be all the glory. Let's look at this because I wanted to see this, because sometimes we get afraid to fail and afraid to fall, but some of the biggest lessons are in failing. Some of the biggest life lessons are in us missing the mark. I've learned so much, I can tell you. I've learned how to appreciate a good job, because guess what? I've lost a good job. I've learned how to appreciate a good woman. I've learned how to appreciate great opportunities, because I didn't always have that mindset. And sometimes when you get to the place where you know God's been good to you, you know you've been blessed, when you can look around and see that you're the minority, you can look around and see that you're the exception to the rule, you say, wait a minute, why me? Even when I go to work, I work with a lot of people. I work in a building with almost 100, 200 people, and I see a distinction in me. I don't share it with them, but as I go in and out of that building every day, I see a distinction. Whether it's the music, whether it's the conversation, whether it's what I'm viewing on my phone, whatever it is, there's a distinction. And you got to know that's the favor of God on you. That you don't have to get caught up in the world and the ways of the world, but you can be standing out. And sometimes when I first happened, I never forget, Bishop Hillier said, pray over your food. And I never used to bless my food. And I went into the McDonald's in Hoboken where I worked, and I found myself praying over my little food. And I was so embarrassed at first. And then I would stop because I knew people were looking at me. And then I would do it again. I would be so embarrassed and so ashamed. And I said, this is stupid. They would be saying, that's so stupid. All it is a Big Mac. But I wanted to learn how to pray. I wanted to learn how to bless my food. And I would stumble. I would fall. I would trip. I would be embarrassed. I would be ashamed. But now I pray. I bless my food. Glory. But that's how it happens. You may be embarrassed at first. You may be ashamed at first. You may be awkward at first. You may not get it at first. But just that's the practices. I'm getting ahead of myself. Those are the practices. That's point number three. I didn't even get to the patterns yet. But principles was the point number one. You're going to be like that tree planted. But let's look at the patterns. Let's look at the patterns. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, I'm going to jump around because Tom's trying to get away from me. Go to 1 Samuel. Go to 1 Samuel 16. 1 Samuel 16. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel 16. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel 16, this is when Saul disobeyed God, and God is now sending Samuel to the house of Jesse. He said, I'm sending you to Jesse's house because out of all his sons, there is one that I'm going to ordain king of Israel, king of Judah, and Jerusalem. Now watch how this unfolds. My wife was just telling me how she's been blessed by the Psalms. And let's just look at this because this blesses me when I look at my life and your life, even the life of those who are overlooked. Verse number 6, and it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. But the Lord said unto him, Samuel, look not on his countenance or his outward appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord see not as man sees. For man look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that, but we're going to keep reading. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen him. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Now that's three of Jesse's sons that Jesse put before Samuel, assuming these are the top three candidates to be king. And Samuel was told by God that that's not it. They're not the ones. Look at verse number 10. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen any of these. Wow. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all your children? And he said, there remains yet the youngest, and behold, he keeps the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch for him, for we will not sit down until he comes. And he sent, and he brought him. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance. David was a handsome dude, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, my God, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil, and anointed him in the midst. They got to view this. They witnessed this. And anointed David in the midst of all of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. And Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Born to win. This is David. When God told Nicodemus, you must be born again, David got a new slate on life, a new chance at life, knowing that his brothers was favored over him, knowing that they had greater potential and greater possibility than him. He's out keeping the sheep. He's not even being considered by his father, Jesse, to be brought before Samuel. He said, is these all your boys you got? You didn't even bring David by me. I had to tell you to go get your son. And I know he came out of your loins. I know you had another boy because God has not chosen these, but God told me to come to the house of Jesse because he raised up a king. And getting back to what my wife shared with me earlier, she said, I've been so blessed by the Psalms. All week I've been in the Psalms, and it's been a blessing. And those of you who I'm talking to right now, even myself, can you imagine our lives if God did not intervene and allow David to do what David needed to do and become what David needed to become? A large part of the Psalms were written by King David. Can you imagine if he was overlooked and never got what he was born in this world to get? Can you, I mean, from his mother's womb, he was born to be king. And he was still overlooked. And you were born to be great. And sometimes the apostle overlooked you, the bishop overlooked you, the pastor overlooked you, your parents overlooked you. They overlooked you on the job. They overlooked you on the basketball team, on the football team. They overlooked you at the town circle. Whatever it is where you were overlooked, you got to know within your being, oh, I feel God right there. You got to know that you know that you know I was born to win. That's why even when it comes to our church, sometimes it's been a struggle. We've had up and down years. We had melancholy. We have good seasons. We've had dry seasons. And, you know, that's church. That's today's church. But I'm encouraged. Oh, I'm encouraged. Because God just got to give me a sign. You know, on Easter Sunday, we had a lot of visitors. That's all the sign I need for this week right here. Glory be to God. Just give me a sign, God. Hallelujah. Just give me, glory be to God, a sign, a wonder, and a miracle to keep me in faith. And that's what God is saying to some of you. I gave you that job so I can stir up your faith. I gave you that blessing so I can stir up your faith. I gave you pastors that love you and trying to teach you and trying to pour into you, and they praying for you because I'm trying to stir up your faith. Ah, glory be to God. I've given you children that honor you and respect you. I've given you a mom and dad that loves you unconditionally because I'm trying to stir up your faith. That's the favor of God. Sometimes, you know, I look and I saw a little kid riding a bike, and I had such a fond memory. My mother, when I was a kid, went and got me a bike from Sears and Roebuck. And the Sears and Roebuck had to be a mile or two or 3 miles away from where we live. And she let me ride the bike behind the car home. And I was just a pedaling. I knew my boys would be like, "Aunt, that's a nice bike." And my mother got me this beautiful 10-speed Schwinn bicycle that she allowed me to ride home. And I saw that little boy riding that bike, and I don't know how my mother did it. I don't know, you know, she was a single parent, but anytime we really wanted something, I don't know how she did it, but she always made it happen. And all my friends had bicycles. I didn't have a bike. I had to stay in the house. I had to sit on the sidewalk. And my mother said, "Not my boy. I'm going to get him a bicycle." And she got me that bike, and I saw a little boy riding a bike today, and I remembered that because she was born to win. And she had adversity. Again, my dad was not there. It was not easy for her to raise 8 children, and then she got married and was a lot easier because my stepfather had money and was retired, had a good pension. We traveled. We had new automobiles. It was beautiful. But guess what? She had her dry seasons. But she was born to win because we never went without. Hallelujah. So you got to know, even through adversity, even through disadvantages, when you're born to win, no weapon. Are y'all hearing me tonight? No weapon formed against you can beat you. So David, I'm so glad God judges the heart. Sometimes I hear people, you know, an idea of prophesying and prophecy. I'll hear, you know, somebody's an outstanding preacher, and maybe they'll get a prophecy or prophet. Not that they're not called to be a pastor, but they'll get a prophetic word that you're called to be a pastor. And, you know, as a pastor, we have a shepherd's heart. And as a shepherd, you have a good heart. You have a compassion for the people. You hate to see people oppressed. You hate to see people going through. You hate to see the sheep in pain. You hate to see people going through adversity because you got the heart and mind of God. And it breaks me and Pastor Rebecca's heart when we know what people are walking through, when we know what people are going through, because it breaks the heart of God, so it breaks the heart of his under-shepherds. And when you got a pastor's heart, you have a heart for his people. Amen? And people say, you know, I want to be a pastor. I'm called to be a pastor. I would advise anyone to rethink it or make sure it's God. Because we've seen in a world like we live today, some people will step all over your good heart. You know, I know some good-hearted people, and people have taken advantage of them, and people have tried to take that good heart and just abuse it. Whether you're in the pastorate or whether you're just a good person, you have to rethink who you give your heart to or how you share your heart. Because the Bible says God judges man judges the outward, but God judges the heart. God knows our heart. Yes, he does. And we got to know that God gives us wisdom. Because, you know, sometimes people say, you know, I try to take my cues from Jesus. I said, Jesus was kind of harsh with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the unbelievers and the scribes and the priests. He had a good heart. He loved people, but he said, you stonewashed tombs. You look good on the outside, but on the inside you got worms and maggots and you ain't right and your heart is callous and you're cold. And he was not nice about it. And I know Jesus had a good heart. So sometimes with our good heart, we can be too nice. I just hate to put it that way, but that's the real of it. And sometimes we're too nice. And God is saying righteous indignation is a good thing, where you don't let people walk all over you. You don't let people tramp over you just because you're a Christian. We still can be strong. It say, wise as serpents, but sweet as doves. Yes, you can be loving. You can be kind. You can be gentle. You can be compassionate, but you ain't nobody's fool. Amen. And we got to know, we got the whole counsel of God. The whole counsel of God. And I thank God for my wife because she reels me in sometimes because sometimes I want to get out there. But God says, when you love, there's certain restraints you got to put forth. But we can't, this world is getting colder. He said, in a world like today, many hearts will wax cold. And that simply means in the culture in which we're living, sometimes this culture could care less. But you have a Christ that cares a lot about you. Amen. So when people fail you or let you down, when a job is not treating you right, when sometimes even family don't treat you the way you should be treated, you know there's a God that you can run to. There's a God that you can go to. So when we're born to win, the enemy's going to do everything in his power not to make that happen. Just like in the life of David, he was supposed to be overlooked, but Samuel, a real prophet, came, and he poured this oil. It said he took the horn of oil. My wife liked to tell when Prophet Diane Jackson poured oil on her. And Prophet Diane Jackson is a powerful woman of God. And she passed that anointing down to Pastor Rebecca, Prophet Rebecca, and she anointed. She said, baby, all this oil went down my hair. She took the horn of oil and just poured it. And I said, wow, that was fascinating. And sometimes we got to know that anointing that you have cost you something. Amen. And we got to know that God wants us not just to be born to win, but he wants us to win in every area of life. Let's look at this scripture here. Where do I want to go next? I want to look at some more of the practices. We talked about go to Acts chapter number 4. I pray this is blessing somebody tonight because sometimes Christians in this day, the warfare is intense. It's against the church. It's against your personal life. It's against your finances. It's against your family. The devil's coming against your faith. And we just got to be ready for this time in which we're living. Jesus prophesied about this day, and we're living in it. These last and evil days, we're here. We are in it. We are in it. When you can see all kinds of nudity and all kinds of craziness on your TV, when you can, you know, see all kinds of violence going on, when you can see a world where they're trying to legalize marijuana, they're trying to do so many things, you know, same-sex relationships, they're trying to just change so much about the Word of God. And we're in that day. It's here. But let's look at the first church and see, because back in that day, we talked about it Sunday, it was Roman oppression. Even as we see the day of Pentecost, they were afraid of the Romans. Caesar was a powerful man back in that day. And Paul was going to go before Caesar. But before that, here in the book of Acts, let's look at verse number 32, chapter number 4. These are some of the practices that we need to do. Why going to church is important. Why those of you who are here tonight on Wednesday, you see Bible study as being important. Those of you who were on the prayer line yesterday, you see that prayer is important. These are the practices of the Christian. These are the religious practices of us as believers. These are rituals. These are things, practices that we do on a weekly, daily basis. And these are things that God expects from us. And Acts chapter number 4, verse number 32, and a multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that ought these things which they possessed was their own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, this is how we get our power back. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. All they did was talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They talked about him defeating death. They talked about him rising and sitting at the right hand of God the Father, coming again to judge the living and the dead. They talked about what he did in his earthly ministry. And the book of John said, Jesus did so many miracles that it said the whole Bible can't contain all the miracles that he did. And all the disciples did with the practices is rehearse this over and over and over again about Jesus and a resurrection power. And the Bible says in verse number 33, great grace. Not grace, great grace came upon all of them. So when in 2019, when we want to get our power back, we got to start talking about Jesus again. We got to start lifting up the name of Jesus again. We got to put him back on the throne. We got to lift up the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and great grace will come back on us, all of us. Amen. And that's the favor of God. That's the mercy of God. That's the privileges of God. Those are the blessings and benefits of God. Verse number 34 says, neither was there any among them that lacked. Oh, my God. There was no one in lack. For as many as were possessors of the lands and houses sold them and brought the prices of all things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution went made to every man according to his need. And Jose, whose name, the apostle, was named Barnabas. This is Barnabas. Y'all remember Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Silas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, and the Levite, and the country of Cyprus. Barnabas was a powerful man. He showed demonstration. Sometimes we don't think about Barnabas as being one of the great apostles, but he was one of the first to bring all of his money and just give it to the kingdom, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. He was one of the apostles. He was one of the great men of God. And the Bible says all of those that had money and land and resources brought these things together to make the church work. And we're praying for that, for new creation. When we get jobs, when we get money, when we get opportunity, when we get resources. If you know Pastor Anthony, I know a building that's for free. Pastor Rebecca, I know a building up for auction. Pastor New Creation Church, I know a church leaving, and they giving away this church for little or nothing. If you hear it through the grapevine, please let us know. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Because we are looking to move. We are looking to have our own building. We are looking, glory be to God, to have our own where we can go in and have shut-ins. We can go in and have weekly conferences without being limited or restricted. We want our own building where we can do ministry and invite the neighborhood in and invite our young people in and just do things that are not planned. But if the God speaks, we can open up the doors of the church and make it happen. And right now, we don't have that luxury. Right now, we don't have that option. And we do desire to have our own building. Glory be to God. So God is saying, oh my God, where's the time going? God is saying, hallelujah, these are practices. I'm not going to get to the patterns, but write down in your notes, 1 Corinthians, read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 1 to verse number 18. Paul talked about the carnal mind. Paul talked about comparing Peter and Apollos and Paul. Don't compare me to Apollos. Don't compare Apollos to Peter. Don't compare the three of us. Talk about I follow Peter. I follow Apollos. I follow Paul. Those comparisons and those competitions, Paul said, are we not yet carnal when we're trying to say one church is better than the other church? One pastor is better than the other pastor. One denomination is better than the other denomination. Paul says, are we not yet carnal? Trying to put one better than the other, trying to put one up on the other, trying to say the mega church is better than the smaller church, the smaller church is better than the mega church. No, we all are the body of Christ. We need the medium church. We need the house church. We need the church that's in the prison. We need the church that's in the shelter. We need the mega church. We need the medium church. We need it all. Amen, somebody. We need all of it. And when we hate on churches, we hate on denominations, we hate on other people because it looks like they're prospering, Paul said that's not of God. Oh, man, I wish I could go there, but for sake of time, I can't go there. When you read it, it's self-explanatory. You should love your church. You should love your pastor. Don't compare, but try to make your church the best it could be. Amen? To God be the glory. We're going to end here, and I made up my mind that I'm going to end here tonight, and I'm going to get here. These last 5 minutes or so, go to Deuteronomy chapter number 28. I said I'm going to get to Deuteronomy 28. Because I want us to see the blessings. I want you to see how blessed you are. I feel like I'm racing. You know, Pastor Anthony, I can talk fast. My adrenaline, my flow is going. I'm trying to slow myself down, but I try to cover a lot of ground in a short period of time. But let's look at Deuteronomy chapter number 28 as we're talking about being born to win. And I'm going to close in this Deuteronomy chapter number 28. To God be all the glory. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all of his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. Verse number 2, in all these blessings, make this personal, beloved. And all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you if you shall listen unto the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Glory be to God. Woo! Lord, Lord, Lord. You're going to be blessed in the marketplace. You're going to be blessed when you come back home in your neighborhood. When you go to work, you're going to be blessed. When you come back home, you're going to be blessed. Verse number 4, blessed shall be the fruit of your body. Don't worry about that child. That child is blessed because that child came out of you. Oh, you were born to win, so that child's going to win. You were born to win, so those children are going to win that you birthed into this world. He says, blessed be the fruit of your body. Every mother, every father, every mom, every dad, you were born to win, and your kids are going to win. Verse number 5. Blessed shall be the basket and your store. Verse 6. Blessed shall be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Oh, my Lord. Whew. No matter where you go, you're blessed. Glory. I pray you're receiving this by faith. He said, blessed when you go out, and you're blessed when you come in. Verse number 7. The Lord shall cause your enemies that rise up against you to be smitten. They shall come against you one way, but they shall flee from you 7 different ways. Lord Jesus. That means when somebody come against you, you got help. They don't see what you're working with. Remember Elisha said to his servant, God, open my servant's eyes so he can see in the spirit. And the Bible says when God opened up his spiritual eyes, the mountain was surrounded with angels, warring angels, fighting for the men of God. And when people come against you, they coming against more than just you. And you got help. You got God on your side. So the Bible says when they come at you, and it might be a lot of enemies, they're going to run a lot of different ways from you. Verse number 8, the Lord shall command a blessing upon you. God's going to command a blessing on you. He's going to decree and declare you blessed. God is going to pronounce blessings on you when you obey and listen to him. That's what I was saying on the prayer line. I don't know who I was saying it to, maybe a few people, but when we honor God, he honors us. When we go after God, God comes after us. When we respect God, God respects us. When we reverence God, God, he rewards us. He said, I'll command a blessing on you. Verse number 9, the Lord shall establish you a holy people to himself, as he has sworn unto you to keep the commandments of the Lord your God and to walk in his ways. God wants us to be holy. He wants us to be consecrated. God wants us to live a sanctified life, apart from evil, apart from sin, apart from wickedness. He said, be holy, for I am holy. Holiness is always right. Holiness is still right. Amen, somebody. Verse number 10, and all the people of the earth shall see, woe, that thou art called by my name, the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. He said, I'll prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. People are going to see you blessed. We're going to stop at verse number 12 and close out for tonight. The Lord shall open unto you his good treasure. Oh, Pastor, I felt that for myself. The heaven to give you rain on the land in the season and to bless the works of your hand. God's going to open up his treasure to you, bless the works of your hand, and all the seed that you have sown and will sow, God's going to rain on it so that it will grow. That's the God that we serve. And when you know that you were born to win, God will do this for you. Father, I thank you for the word tonight. I believe by faith that we all grew and went somewhere in you tonight. So God, I bless you, even as those listen to the recording, those who will listen to the archives, those that will take the notes and get this down in their spirit, that they were born to win. It doesn't matter if they fell tonight or last night. Today is the first day of the rest of their lives. So I thank you for their future, that their ladder is greater, and that their tomorrow will be better than their yesterday. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We will see you in church on Sunday. If you're in the New Jersey area, 1482 Maple Avenue, we start 12:30 sharp, opening in prayer, and we're moving forward with the service. We pray you bring somebody to church if you're local. Share the website with somebody. Share the information about the church. Get it on social media. Get it to your contacts. We want to get the word out about New Creation Church. So much is happening there. We want to grow numerically. We want to increase, not just for fame or fortune, but we can do much more with more people and more resources. And that's our desire as a church. We want to have a bigger impact on the community and the lives of more people. And with your prayers and my prayers, we can make it happen. So we'll see you on Sunday. Please give an offering, nccmonline.org. We have a Cash App now. What's the Cash App, Pastor?
NCCM Church.
NCCM Church is the Cash App. We thank everyone who gave last night on Sunday. If you're giving tonight, thank you in advance. But everyone who gives to this church, everyone who pours into New Creation to keep the doors open, all of you who are faithful with your money toward this ministry, Pastor Rebecca and I thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We appreciate your faithfulness to this church. We appreciate your stewardship. We appreciate, in the name of Jesus, you offering part of your treasures to advance the kingdom of God. And we are so godly glad that you are being used by God to be a blessing to us, New Creation Church. So we thank God for you. We'll see you Sunday. God bless everyone. We love you. Remember, you were born to win. Matter of fact, say that as we go off the line tonight. Decree it and declare it out of your mouth. Say this with me before we sign off tonight. Say, I was born to win. Amen. You make that declaration. You were born to win, and the devil can't do nothing about it. God bless. Good night, everyone. Love you. God bless.